When things aren't happening the way you think they ought to happen, when they're not going according to what you want or you desire from God, are you tempted to break the rules? Do you think that you can break those rules, beloved, and get away with it? If God is God, oh, my friend, don't be foolish. There are lessons for life we need to learn today, lessons that will keep you on that straight and narrow path despite the circumstances. Studying such an awesome, awesome man. I just pray, beloved, that you are learning along with me and that God is speaking to your heart, and that as you contrast the life of David with the life of Saul, which is what God is showing us in this portion of 1 Samuel, he's showing us a man after his own heart, walking in the Spirit, and he's showing us a man, Saul, who has turned away from God and who is walking according to the flesh. And as we look at them, we have to ask ourselves, am I more like David or am I more like Saul? And when you give yourself an honest look, then if you're more like Saul, then you're more like David, then for heaven's sake, for heaven's sake, for the kingdom of heaven's sake, get on the right side of the fence and live the way that you're supposed to live. And I'm saying the same thing to me also, because as I study the Word of God, I see so many times, you know, that I am tempted to take things in my own hand. I'm tempted to think I can break the rules. You cannot break the rules. You can't break them and get away with it. God is God, and he has a reward for those who diligently seek him and who obey him. And so obedience, as we saw, is much better than sacrifice. Well, what we find is we find David in another, he's still in the wilderness, but now he's living in the area of the Philistines. He's living in the area of the Philistines, and yet this man, in the midst of the world, so to speak, the world of the Philistines, he is living for God. He is doing and completing the job that God called his people to do. I love it. He's hiding from Saul. He's gone over to the Philistine area because he knows that as long as he stays in Judah, that Saul is going to continue to pursue him. And he is exactly right, because when Saul hears that he's gone over to the Philistines, he says, okay, I might as well not seek him anymore. And so Saul stops seeking him. But David does not stop obeying the Lord. He's living in Philistine territory. He has been given the city of Ziklag by Achish, the king of Gath. And David and his men are going up and raiding the Gershites, the Gerzites, and the Amalekites, for they were inhabitants of the land from ancient times, as you come to Shur, even as far as the land of Egypt. In other words, if you follow the coastline, the Mediterranean coastline, right on down from Israel to Egypt, that's the way of Shur. And that's where David is making these raids. Now, I want us to continue to look at some scriptures as to why David is doing this. And I gave you Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 1 to 6, that tells that when they go into the land, that all the inhabitants of the land that God is giving to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob have to be destroyed. They have to be utterly destroyed. They have to be wiped out. There is to be no allegiance to them, no alliance with them, no, in a sense, not driving them out. In fact, in the days of Judges, the reason they got in trouble was because they did not drive out the enemy completely. And yet in chapter 13 of Joshua, verse 1, it says, "Now Joshua was old and advanced in years when the Lord said to him, you are old and advanced in years, and very much of the land remains yet to be possessed. This is the land that remains. Now listen carefully. This is very interesting. It's so wonderful. You know, I get so excited because you study the Word of God and you move through it precept upon precept, and you start in Genesis and Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy, and you go all the way through, and He builds precept upon precept and precept upon precept, and you become so rich in your knowledge of the Lord and of His ways, and then you see how the Scripture goes together and how it intertwines and all fits together. Do you love the Word of God? If you don't love the Word of God, if you're not drawn to the Word of God, if the Word of God doesn't speak to you when you open it, then I would check out my salvation. Because if Christ is in you, then He puts inside of you a hunger and a thirst for righteousness, a desire to know God. That's a gift from God when the Holy Spirit moves inside of you. So if there's no hunger, then God has brought you to this program in order to create that hunger, in order to get you to know Jesus Christ, in order to get you into the Word so that you might have the precepts for life that you need for living. Verse 2, He says, this is the land that remains. This is when I got all excited. All the regions of the Philistines, that land remains, and all of those of the Gergesites and Gershites. And this is part of the people that David was attacking when he was living in the land of the Philistines. Now, the land of the Philistines, and I'm telling you, in modern day Gaza, that belongs to Israel. All of that belongs to God's people. Well, this is what he says. So they, all the regions of the Philistines, that would be Gath and Ekron and all those Philistine cities, those Philistine cities belong to Israel, and those of the Gergesites, all right? So it goes on to say, from the Shehor, which is east of Egypt, even as far as the border of Ekron to the north, and Ekron is a Philistine city. It is counted as Canaanites, the five lords of the Philistines, the Gazite, the Ashdodite, the Ashkelonite, the Gittite, the Ekronite, and the Avite. All of that belongs to Israel. All right, but they hadn't possessed it yet. So what is David doing? Is David out of the will of the Lord being in the land of the Philistines? I don't think so. I think that he's there doing God's business. I think he's there obeying God. So I gave you Deuteronomy 7, 1 to 6. I gave you Deuteronomy in the last program 20, 16 to 18. We've looked at Joshua 13, 1 to 3. Now I want us to go to Deuteronomy chapter 25, verse 17. Deuteronomy chapter 25 and verse 17. Now, this is God's command to the children of Israel when they're east of the Jordan, getting ready to cross the Jordan and go in and possess the land that God gave to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as an everlasting covenant. And this is what God is saying. This is God speaking. Remember, verse 17, what Amalek did to you along the way when you came from Egypt. And Amalek was at their heels, and Amalek was fighting them. And you would read about that in Exodus chapter 17. This is when Joshua goes down to fight the enemy, and Moses goes up on the hill, and Aaron and Hur are up there holding up his hands. And as long as his hands are held up with the staff of God in his hand, Joshua wins. But when Moses gets tired and his arms come down because it's a long battle, then the enemy, the Amalekites, start to prevail. And so that's why Aaron and Hur sit Moses on a rock and hold up his hands with the staff in his hand. Well, he says, do you remember how he met you along the way and attacked you among all the stragglers at your rear when you were faint and weary, and he did not fear God? Reminds me of my son's dog. My son has a Bichon, and it's just like a fluffy little poodle, only fluffier. And when any dog comes into that yard, I mean, that little Bichon goes for it. And that Bichon goes not for the front of the animal, but from the rear of the animal. And so it goes to the rear, and I mean, he just grabs a hold of that rear and won't let go. And man, he's right after that dog until he's chasing him out there. Well, now they've got a little bulldog, and the bulldog is a bulldog was trained to hold bulls in check so that they could kill a bull. So a bulldog would run and grab a bull right on his nose and his mouth, and he'd just clamp on and hang on. Well, the other day a dog came into the yard, and the Bichon came from the rear and the bulldog came from the front. And I mean, that poor dog didn't know what hit him. The bulldog had him on the front and the little Bichon had him on the rear. Well, the Bichon's like the Amalekites. Okay. And he said, he did how he met you along the way and attacked you among all your stragglers at the rear when you were faint and weary and they did not fear God. Therefore, it shall come about when the Lord your God has given you rest from all your surrounding enemies in the land which the Lord gives you as an inheritance to possess, you shall blot out the memory of Amalek from under heaven. You must not forget. Well, that's what they were to do. And who was to do this? Well, go to 1 Samuel chapter 15, and you'll remember. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, the Lord speaks to Samuel, and he gives these instructions for him to give to Saul. We'll look at it right after the break. Welcome to Precept Ministries International. We're at our women's conference, and we have been studying Ready today for what is coming tomorrow. And we have had a great, great time. We have had such incredible, incredible fellowship. But that fellowship has been around the Word of God. Because when you come here, what you do is you open the book. And we take you through a book of the Bible, or we take you through a topic, but you're looking at the Word of God. We have seminars to meet all your needs, but the fellowship that goes on around the tables, the prayer times, the singing, it's awesome. We wish that you were here. Why don't you come and join us at our next women's conference? God had told the children of Israel in Deuteronomy that they were to destroy Amalek. Now the time has come in 1 Samuel chapter 15, which is the last scripture I want you to look at in relationship to this. So in 1 Samuel chapter 15, Saul is the one who is to destroy Amalek. This is what the Lord says through Samuel in verse 2. Thus says the Lord of hosts, I will punish Amalek for what he did to Israel, how he set himself against him on the way while he was coming from Egypt. Now go and strike Amalek and utterly destroy all that he has. Do not spare him, but put to death both man and woman, child and infant, ox and sheep, camel and donkey. So this was God's command. But you know the story. You know that Saul did not obey God. You know that God turned around and said to him, he says, has the Lord as much delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. And he says, rebellion is as the sin of divination. Now remember that. Rebellion is as the sin of divination. And insubordination is wicked, is iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord has rejected you from being king. Now watch the contrast. Watch. Okay, you see David here in 1 Samuel obeying God. You see David carrying out the rest of the work of clearing the land and getting everyone taken care of, putting everyone to death. Now, when you contrast this with what we just read in 1 Samuel, that rebellion, disobedience, is as the sin of divination, watch what is about to happen. Watch the way all of this is laid out before you. You say, you know, this is not terribly practical. You know what? You need knowledge. You need knowledge because everything that we do is based on knowledge. And what you need to understand is that God is God and God is to be obeyed. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Rebellion is as the sin of divination. So here is David. He's in the area of the Philistines. He is not sitting back and saying, you know, Saul has been pursuing me and I have a right just to take it easy and just to pull up my men and sit here and just wait out the death of Saul. No, he is going to pursue God. He is going to do the work of God. He's going to be obedient. He's going to finish cleaning up the land. It's in his heart, and he knows God's commission on his life. So when we come back to verse 9 of 1 Samuel 27, it says, and David attacked the land and did not leave a man or woman alive. He's doing what Saul did not do. And God wants you to see the contrast. He says, and he took away the sheep, the cattle, the donkeys, the camels, the clothing. Then he returned home and came to Achish. And now Achish said, where have you made a raid today? Because he's bringing him some of the spoil, apparently. And David said, against the Negev of the Judah. And against the Negev is the south country of the Jerahmeelites. And against the Negev of the Kenites. David did not leave a man or woman alive to bring to Gath, saying, otherwise they will tell about us, saying, so has David done. And so has been his practice all the time since he lived in the country of the Philistines. All the time. He's been living there, according to verse 7, 1 year and 4 months. And that whole time, he's been in an act of obedience to God. In that whole time, it says that this has been his practice since he lived in the land of the Philistines. He is still serving God, even in those untoward, difficult circumstances. So Achish believed David, saying, he has surely made himself odious among the people Israel. Therefore, he will become my servant forever. What he does not know is he will never become his servant because he sees himself as a servant of the Most High God, because he has a heart like the heart of God. And even in the wilderness and even in the difficulties, he's going to be obedient. Are you going to be obedient, beloved? You're in difficulties. You're in a wilderness situation. You're living where you don't want to live. You're living in the midst of the world. You're living in the midst of sin and corruption and that. But will you be like a light in the midst of that crooked and perverse generation? Will you live in such a way as to hold forth the word of life? Will you be used of God to carry out God's purposes? Now watch the contrast, because God is doing a definite thing when he lays out the scriptures before us. Remember, rebellion is as the sin of divination. All right? So now we come to chapter 28. Now it came about in those days that the Philistines gathered their armed camps for war to fight against Israel. And Achish said to David, know assuredly that you will go out with me in the camp, you and your men. We're going to fight Israel and you're going to come with me. Woo! David said to Achish, very well, you know what your servant can do. So Achish said to David, very well, I will make you my bodyguard for life. Now, Samuel was dead. Now, remember, the Bible's an oral book, and everybody wasn't sitting there like you're able to sit there and follow me along in the scriptures. So he wants to show you something. Samuel was dead. We already know Samuel's dead. He's already told us that. We've already known that he's been buried at Ramah. And it says, and all Israel lamented him and buried him in Ramah, his own city. And Saul had removed from the land those who were mediums and spiritists. And mediums and spiritists are involved in divination. And remember, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft or divination. And it says, so the Philistines gathered together and came and camped in Shunem. And Saul gathered all Israel together and they camped in Gilboa. Remember where they are camping. They're camping in Gilboa. There are mountains of Gilboa behind them. Beautiful, beautiful mountains. Right on the plain of Jezreel, the Armageddon, where all the armies of the world are someday going to be gathered. And it says, when Saul saw the camp of the Philistines, he was afraid, and his heart trembled greatly. Isn't that something? David's living among them and he's not afraid because he's walking in obedience to the Lord. Saul sees them and Saul is afraid and his heart is trembling. Why? Because he's living in disobedience to the Lord. When Saul inquired of the Lord did not answer, either by dreams or by Urim or by the prophets. Now, he didn't answer by dreams. God's not speaking to Saul right now. And he didn't answer by the Urim. Remember, it was Saul that killed the priests at Nob. And remember, it was Abithar that took the ephod, but they had another ephod. And God wasn't speaking to him that way. And he didn't speak to him by the prophets. Well, he didn't want anything to do with Samuel. He didn't listen to Samuel anyway. So why should God give him revelation when all this time he has walked in partial obedience, which really is disobedience? When he didn't put to death Amalek, when he didn't wait to offer the sacrifice. So watch. Then Saul said to his servants, seek for me a woman who is a medium and inquire of her. And his servants said, behold, there is a woman who is a medium at Endor. He is going to go to the witch, to the medium of Endor. Do you see what God is showing us? God is showing us that rebellion is as the sin of divination. He has gone from rebellion and not obeying God and not putting the enemy to death now to divination. He's the one that drove out the mediums and the spiritists. He's the one that said they're not allowed in the land because that's what the book of Deuteronomy said. But now he's in a difficult situation. And what is he going to do? He's going to compromise the word of God. Oh, beloved, listen. God requires obedience.
Forty-five years ago, Precept Ministries was born in a little valley in Tennessee. In a barn, actually. Since then, it has grown and crossed oceans and borders to 180 countries and over 70 languages. But many people still don't know. What is Precept? Precept Ministries International is a network of people who see the Word of God as essential for knowing, loving, and following Him in daily life. Precept writes Bible studies using an inductive study method so that people can discover the truth of God's Word for themselves, rather than just reading or listening to someone else's thoughts and interpretations. That sounds great if you have the time, right? That's the hard part. The clock running away from us and an endless to-do list. If we let it, not having enough time for the things that matter will define our lives. Precept Ministries wants to walk differently with you, pointing you to Jesus continually. Our mission is for people to be established in God's Word. Precept is for the 9-to-5 workers, the 8-to-3 students, and the 24/7 parents. It's for the people with questions. It's for disciple makers. It's for the church and the community. It's for you.
This program is Precepts for Life, and I don't want you to leave today without your precept for life. As we've been looking at this series, within the series of 1 Samuel, we've been looking at the divine presence that walks through with us through the wilderness, through the times of testing, through the times of temptation, through the times of trial. And David has certainly been through this. And yet, in all these times of temptation and testing and trial, we have seen David come out a winner. We have seen David as an example for you and me to follow. Hasn't it been wonderful? And we've seen him especially in contrast with Saul. You know, when you look at Saul and you look at his status and you see that God is not answering him by dreams or by the Urim, which is the breast piece and the lights that were in that pouch that would give them answers to their questions, or by prophets, you can see that Saul made his own wilderness. And so many times what we do is we make our own wilderness. We cut ourselves off from those people that can help us. We cut ourselves off from God. How did Saul cut himself off from God? It's essential that you know and understand, and I will tell you why. Because in there, in that answer, is your precept for life. He cut himself off by disobedience. He never obeyed God. He would not wait on Samuel to get there to have him, Samuel, make the sacrifice. He excused himself and he went ahead and sacrificed when he wasn't supposed to. He didn't put Amalek to death. He did not put the king of the Agag to death, the king of the Amalekites. He made an excuse. You can't make excuses with God, beloved. God is God. He sees everything. He knows everything. He is sovereign. He can come to your aid or he can turn away a deaf ear. You're the one that determines what he does. And you determine it by your response to the word of God, by your act of faith, by faith's obedience. So many times we think faith is just believing. Faith is not just believing. Faith is obeying, beloved. So your precept for life today, precious one, is obey, 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 no matter the cost, no matter the circumstances, obey God, and God will be there. You'll sense his divine presence wherever you are.
Thank you for watching today. All the programs you see on Precepts for Life are available on CD and DVD. To download your free copy of the study guide, click on our website or call us today at 1-800-763-1990. Join us for our next program, The Discovery of Truth, The Knowledge of Eternal Life, The Face of Hope. People in more than 120 nations and 65 different languages know how to discover truth for themselves. When you support Precept Ministries International, you're giving the Word of God to orphans, supplying studies for youth camps, and equipping Precept trainers in foreign countries. Our ministry is greater than we ever dreamed, and we thank you for your generous giving. If you'd like to partner with us, call 1-800-763-1990.